Our kids love looking through old photo albums. We still print them out each year because otherwise they just get left on the computer. And it's a real joy to look back on the things we did together and to talk about them. It's an encouragement for family life. There are many ways that doing that grows our bonds of affection in the present, and it spurs us on together for family life in the future. Realising we are, as the great High School Musical puts it, all in this together. We're continuing our new series this morning, picking up the book of Hebrews, which we left off just before Easter. Hebrews is a letter by an unknown author written to Christian converts from Judaism sometime between 50 to 70 AD. The letter's structure bounces between exposition and exhortation. So there's teaching followed by warning and encouragement, followed by teaching, followed by warning and encouragement, and so on. And we are diving back into the final section of exhortation in the letter. We've had the call to live by faith at the end of chapter 10, especially a call for perseverance in the faith, in the face of adversity. With example after example in chapter 11 of Old Testament character who did indeed persevere in the faith and not shrink back. Faithful perseverance in the face of adversity and promises not yet realised. We've got another heading as we come now to chapter 12. The Christian life presented as a race. And I've put on the screen the race of the Christian life. With another call to persevere in the faith. Perhaps a concluding cry to all we've heard about in the previous two chapters. We've prayed already, so let's jump into these verses. At the race of the Christian life, and like every race, it's there to be run. There's another heading. The first thing about this race, we are told to run with endurance to the end. Run with endurance to the end. Verse 1, let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. And this race is serious. It's more London Marathon than walk in the park. The word used for this race is the one we get our word agony from. It is a struggle. The race of the Christian life is a struggle. The struggles these first Hebrew Christians are facing is spelt out in chapter 10. Public reproach, imprisonment, property taken from them. And the list of Old Testament examples who persevered in the face of adversity runs through chapter 11. Knowing the struggle of the Christian life, our writer urges us to run this race with endurance to the end. Verse 3, not growing weary or faint-hearted too soon. You know that moment at the end where the athletes have given all they can and they just collapse to the ground, totally spent. Don't do that, the writer urges. Before the end, we might say, stay on your feet till you finish the race. Run with endurance to the end. And one thing we can do for our part is to get rid of the excess weight. Verse 1, let us also, like those who've gone before us, lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. All that pulls us down. When the athletes line up at the start, they take off tracksuits and jumpers and jackets. Trainers are swapped for running shoes, actively taking off that they're anything that's going to hinder them, giving them the best shot to get to the end as well as possible. Chapter 12, verse 1, the things that hold us back in the Christian life are described as weights and sin which clings so closely, wrapping itself round and entangling into our lives, holding us back. As we run the race, lay this all aside, the writer urges, that we might not, verse 3, grow weary or faint-hearted, rather run with endurance to the end. So it's natural for us to ask where we're carrying excess weight, where the entanglements are in our lives which cling to us, hindering and holding us back. These probably come in two forms. First, that which is just wrong. Our covetous hearts, jealousy or resentment, perhaps a lack of forgiveness in our lives where we've been hurt, the lustful desires of our hearts. Or secondly, it may be that we're entangled in things which are not themselves wrong, but are holding us back from growing as Christians, from pressing on in the faith. Perhaps, for example, a distracting hobby or relationship. consuming too much time and energy and effort that we may perhaps need to pare back on or give up in order to press on. Or things we build around us for self-protection, including an unhealthy obsession to work so we can provide for our own security. An abhorrence of Psalm 46 verse 1, which becomes, I am my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, rather than the Lord. Maybe too our desire to simply take the easy path through life, the path of least resistance for our comfort or to fit in with the culture around us. The avoidance of persecution for being known as belonging to Jesus. Self-denial is part of pressing on. Yes, of sin, but also perhaps those other things that take the primary place of Jesus in our lives. There are glorious benefits of the Christian life. But verse 1 here encourages us on with some of the responsibilities. Sin, comfort, self-indulgence, they are attractive and they are enticing. They are pleasurable experiences, but we are encouraged to lay them aside, to lay aside our appetite for those things which add weight to our lives, that hold us back in the race. Pray for the Spirit's fruit of self-control in this. Or let me set it in the positive for us. God made us. And he loves us and he's given us gifts and skills and experiences that we might use our minds and our bodies to love and serve him. What has God given you to nurture and not neglect? What are you good at or experienced with? What are you passionate about? And so what do we need to lay aside to fulfill God's good purposes for us? Things that might be legitimate, but which distract us, hold us back from running with endurance to the end of the Christian life. And there's always a corporate element. Who can help you with this as we one another together here in the present? That mutual encouragement and accountability we need as Christians in small groups or one-to-one with someone. Pray on for that. And pray too with great thanks for those who have encouraged and inspired you from the past, who have been a witness to you in your generation, that we hope and pray will enable you to be a witness to future generations of a life lived by faith in Jesus. And we long that. We've celebrated Thanksgiving of Jesse and Nathan today. We'd love to be examples as a church family together of that for them and all our children and young people. And this brings us to our second point, the encouragement of others. The race of the Christian life, run with endurance to the end, encouraged by the crowd, encouraged by the crowd. And this is where chapter 12 begins, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us ... run with endurance to the end. Who are those witnesses? This cloud that we're calling the crowd? Well, we've just had the whole list of them through chapter 11. And not just them, but others too. We've just declared our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in the communion of saints. We've got some specific examples in chapter 11, but way beyond that, trusting in Jesus, we are part of a family, the body of Christ, and not just a global body in our generation, but of all those of all time who've trusted in God's promises to us, who've lived by faith, all ultimately in the Lord Jesus. Those who have died and gone to be with the Lord. Why do they encourage us on? Well, because they've already finished the race. They have run with endurance to the end, through trial and hardship, suffering and adversity. They have persevered in the faith. Doesn't Hebrews 11 encourage you when you read it? Or read one of many Christian biographies out there. Of men and women who persevered, of Jim Elliot, the Cambridge Seven, John Stott, Corrie Ten Boom, or even closer to home. Each funeral I do of a believer is hard, but I know they've finished. Felicity Partridge, Carol Phillips, Joyce Newman. They have run with endurance to the end, and I am encouraged by their witness. And it's hard to look at Dick at this moment. A joy. The joy I want each one a witness to us of persevering faith, of lives run with endurance to the end, of, as one writer notes, God's sufficiency in our times of need. What encouragement to keep our eyes up, running with confidence and endurance to the end, encouraged by the crowd. Whether we're struggling to run or not, but especially in those moments, the Christian life is particularly hard. Through trial and hardship, in the face of adversity or persecution, look at and remember those who've gone before us and have done by faith. The same faith in the same Lord and Saviour we have, and so they depended on the same resources that are available to us. It can encourage us to know that we're not the first ones to face these temptations and crises, and that others before us have run with endurance to the end. And know too that some of God's best work is done in these times. Speaking of the power of Christ at work in his life, the Apostle Paul writes to Corinthian Christians, 2 Corinthians 12:10, "When I am weak, then I am strong." We are in uncertain times ahead. Post-COVID, about to go into a vacancy. God has worked amazingly in this church over the past 4 years, but perhaps this is the moment we'll see his best work in us. Perhaps at this moment, he will prove his sufficiency to us as a church more than ever as he brings us out of it and through it. Our God is the same God of those in chapter 11. If you're old enough, you'll remember the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind, released the year I was born, with the tagline, "We are not alone." Run the race of the Christian life with endurance to the end, encouraged by the crowd. But as one preacher notes, it's not so much that we look to them and see them looking back at us, but we look to them and see them looking to Jesus, pointing us to him. Which is the last heading on the screens. Run the race of the Christian life with endurance to the end, encouraged by the crowd, fixing our eyes on Jesus, fixing our eyes on Jesus. The author to the Hebrews writes, verse 1, "Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Verse 2, "Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." Verse 3, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself. Look there, verse 2, looking to Jesus, and verse 3, considering Jesus, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Like when you have to concentrate really hard, I'm due an eye test soon, it's overdue. But you have to look at the rows of letters on the box in front of you, the ones that get smaller and smaller. I don't look at the optician. I don't try and measure the distance between me and the box. I need to look hard. I need to concentrate and fix my eyes on those letters. If this whole section is about living by faith, the writer takes us right to the heart of things here. I shared in my sermon last week at All Saints that faith is a really common word in our vocabulary, and that we are, in fact, all people of faith, Christian or otherwise. We all have faith in someone or something. As you sat down here this morning, you had faith in the chair that it would hold your weight. You may go to work tomorrow with faith in your employer that they will pay your wages at the end of the month. Faith isn't something exclusive to Christians or indeed those who call themselves religious or spiritual. We all have faith in someone or something. The bigger question is always, what is your faith in? The Bible deals with the matter of Christian faith, faith in the God of the Bible, in the person and work of the Lord Jesus. Faith is nothing in itself. It's only as valuable as the object of our faith. And all the writer is urging us to do in verse 2 is to look to the object of our faith as Christians. How are we going to run the race of the Christian life with endurance to the end? How are we going to keep persevering in the Christian faith, especially in times of adversity? Look to the one in whom our faith rests. fixing our eyes on Jesus. And when we look at Jesus, we see the founder and perfecter of our faith. Jesus is the perfecter of our faith. As the cloud of witnesses in verse 1 are examples, they also point to Jesus, in whom we see the perfect example of running with endurance to the end, of perseverance in the faith, in the face of adversity. Through Jesus' work on the cross, paying the price for our sin, for our wanting to live as gods of our lives instead of God. Persevering in loving God and others to the end. And yet Jesus' work on the cross is unique. It's one we could never do. In that sense, Jesus is the founder of our faith. He is the one in whom the Christian faith begins and ends. Our faith is in him and is secure in him because his work on the cross is done once and for all. Jesus died. Jesus is risen. Hallelujah. Jesus both originates and completes faith. Being a Christian and living as a Christian is all about Jesus from beginning to end. Yes, we are to imitate Jesus as we live as his followers, but we're also meant to rest securely in Jesus, whose work is done once and for all. What a joy the Christian faith is. It's not about what we do to please God, but everything Jesus has done already. My attention has been focused on leaving well and starting well these past few months. Preparations to leave Crowborough, ensuring St Richard's is left in as strong a position as possible for the vacancy and a new minister. And then equally trying to get my head round priorities in Tunbridge, both church and family, schools for the girls, on top of dealing with emotions, all of them that come from this season. What has been the main focus of your attention these past months or year? COVID has been a massive focus of all of our attentions, responding, recovering and then rebuilding. But then on top of that, you may have been dealing with your own concerns, perhaps a house move or a health issue, redundancy, children and family. The writer to the Hebrews urges us as Christians to give the main focus of our attention to Jesus. In and through all our circumstances. That is how we will run with endurance to the end. How do we do that? Well, one staple is daily Bible reading and prayer, a bread and butter of fixing our eyes on Jesus. But we often need to plan this in to make it happen or it doesn't. To think of a good moment, the start, the middle, the end of the day. What else will help you remember Jesus through the day? Perhaps magnets on the fridge or a picture on the walls. Perhaps you have an app that pings verses of encouragement into your phone. Or you could commit to learn a new Bible verse once a week or once a month. We have a monthly verse as a staff team and we have a monthly verse in each St. Richard's prayer diary. Did you know that? Do you even know we have a prayer diary? Each week of prayers mailed out with the newsletter. And as we pray, it's easy to lose focus. I tend to write my prayers in a notebook and then pray through them. Anything that helps us look to Jesus day by day will play its part in helping us persevere in the faith for a lifetime. And that will create a self-perpetuating cycle. The more we get to know and trust Jesus, the more we see he can be trusted, so the more we trust him. In that sense, the first steps are often the hardest to take, but I can promise you Jesus can be trusted. Personal testimony of God's work in our lives can create a culture of trusting God as we see or hear him at work. Look around us at what God has done in this church family over the past 4 years, how he has kept and grown us, how he's strengthened us through struggles and challenges, blessed us with opportunities to grow together and to reach out to others. He has provided all we need in people and resources at just the right times. God can be trusted. Do pray about those areas of life you find the hardest to trust God with, where you want to keep control, or where we're fearful of the answer God might give or the path he might take us down. God can be trusted, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who himself kept his eyes on all that was ahead too, the joy that was set before him, who endured the shame of the cross for the glory of heaven. And not just for himself, but in our place, that we might be with him by faith as we trust in him. John 14, 1 to 3, preparing a place for us. Fix your eyes on Jesus, not just because he's done it before us, but because he's done it for us. As we finish now, all I have to offer you as a Christian is Jesus. All any of us as Christians have to offer you is Jesus. But there is nothing and no one better. The race of the Christian life, run with endurance to the end, encouraged by the crowd, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who has done all we need to bring us to you. We pray we might see that and turn and trust in Jesus today and every day. Show us your purposes for us. Keep our eyes fixed on Jesus until the day we see him face by face to face, by sight and not by faith. And in his name we pray now. Amen.